I want you to turn with us tonight to the writings of Psalms chapter 93. Psalms chapter 93. I have no title. If you must have a title to a message, just name it the 93rd Psalm. That's a pretty good title. How many has ever been blessed out of the Word of God without a title? We always think we have to have a title. There are four divisions of Psalms chapter 93. The first division speaks of His Lordship. The second division deals with eternal facts. The third division deals with hope in the midst of distress. And the fourth division of this small psalm talks about Eloah God, the object of worship, holy Lord of glory. And so we want to preach and minister to you tonight, Psalms chapter 93. I'm reading from the Revised Version. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded Himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Thy throne is everlasting. It is established from of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods, they lift up their pounding waves. But more than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Would you say amen? And then David closes this division by saying, thy testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits thy house, O Lord, forever. First of all, tonight I want to deal with His Lordship. The Apostle Peter speaks to us in the writings of the book of Acts, chapter 10 and verse number 36. He said, I come to you preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. How many believe tonight that He is Lord of all? Now, when everything is going well in your life, it's easy for you to believe that He is Lord of all. But you see, the Lordship of the Christ of God is not established, nor is it constituted, by whether you believe in His Lordship or not. He's Lord whether men believe or whether men doubt. He's Lord whether you feel that you're in a traumatic hour or situation or a crisis of life. He's Lord whether you're blessed beyond abundance. I said He's Lord. Circumstance and situation never alters, neither does it ever change the fact that He is Lord of all. And here David declares unto us, He, the Lord, reigns. Hallelujah. He reigns whether Hussein wants Him to or not. He reigns whether all of the tyrants and the skeptics and the Madeleine O'Hara's want Him to or not. I said He reigns. Would you say amen? It doesn't matter if the entire world is steeped in heathenism and paganism. I'm telling you, He reigns. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if the world bows the knee to Krishna or not. I say to you, He is Lord. No matter what mankind does, He is Lord. That is an eternal established fact. And it is not changed by situation, circumstance, by governments or powers of heaven, hell, or in the earth. Hallelujah. He is Lord, whether it accommodates man or whether it accommodates devils. He is Lord, and it will never change. Hallelujah to God. David said he is clothed with majesty. He didn't call Springfield and ask them if he could wear a robe from Springfield. He didn't call the SBC and ask them if he could wear their hat. He didn't call the United Methodists and ask them if he could visit the United Methodist Church. He never calls and asks for visiting rights. I said he never has to call and ask for visiting rights. I'm telling you tonight, church, we are serving the eternal Lord of glory. Hallelujah. You see, the Word of God declares to us 2,500 times in the Old Testament, you read the word capital G-O-D that has been translated from the Hebrew word Elohim God or Elohim, whichever way that you want to pronounce it. But the word Elohim God means God, the putting forth of power. Hallelujah. 2,500 times he has declared his lordship in the Old Testament alone. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he is Lord. I said he is Lord. No matter what the situation is, he is Lord when the storm rages. He is Lord when sickness attacks your body. He is Lord when the pharaohs of this world will not comply with our requesting to be released from bondage. He is Lord when deliverance seems to be an impossibility. He is Lord when they call and tell you that the ship you were expecting in just sank to the bottom of the ocean floor. He is Lord. Come on, I said, he is Lord. When you are denied privilege by mankind, hallelujah. He is Lord. When your own brothers sell you into slavery, he is Lord. When you end up at the whipping post of shame before all humanity, he is Lord. When you're turned over to the pilots of this world and they give you over to an angry mob that is thirsting for your blood. You see, it doesn't matter what situation or circumstance dictates. I'm telling you, he is Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, church, but I'm telling you, he's been made manifest as Lord of glory in every situation of my life. Hallelujah. I said he's been made manifest as Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thanks be unto God. He is Lord when your last journey is the journey of death. You see, that final enemy tonight is death. I said the final enemy is death. I've heard a lot of preaching and teaching over the last 15 years that has been a puzzle to my spirit. One of the greatest ladies of faith that I've ever known in my life was my mother-in-law. She had an encounter with breast inflammatory cancer. It wasn't but 2.5 years later that she died with this incurable disease. I'm telling you, she is a woman of faith. I had different ones to say to me. They said, well, if she'd have had faith, she would not have died. I'm telling you, my friend, he's Lord. It doesn't matter what comes your way. He is Lord. Hallelujah. If you die with an incurable disease, it does not change the fact that he is Lord. And neither does it change the fact that at his will, he can raise up. Hallelujah. He is the sovereign, omnipotent Elohim God who can put forth power. And he can change circumstance. He can change the elements of nature. He can speak to the storms and they'll be made calm. Hallelujah. I said he is Lord. But you see, what a lot of teachers and preachers fail to realize, that he's Lord all the way to the grave. I said he's Lord all the way to the grave. The greatest faith that is preached and made mention of in the Bible is not a faith that cures incurable disease. It's not the faith that brings blessings upon a man as far as the prosperity of temporal materialistic gain is. But the greatest faith ever made mention in the Word of God is when Jesus began through the Apostle Paul to pen the words, and there were some of you who were not, are you listening to me, who were not released from prison, but they died in the jails. They died in the prison house. They died in the lion's den. They died in the fiery furnaces of life. They were sawn asunder. He said, these men and women, the world was not worthy of them. Hallelujah. I've got a faith tonight that just doesn't bless me. I've got a faith tonight that just doesn't heal me. I've got a dying faith in the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. I'm willing to live for him. I'm willing to suffer for him. I'm willing to die for him. Would you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of confrontation. I'm not afraid of battles. I just have to pray not to enjoy them. Come on, amen. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Rather rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because if a man begins to get exalted in the victories of the battles of life, he or she will get to the place that the pride of life begins to rule their mind and dominate their thinking. And they think, well, it's faith all the time. Let me tell you that throughout the entire Word of God, men who have preached this gospel, men who have preached the faith of God, men who have preached miracles from God, are also men who have died with diseases and died in the lion's den and died in the fiery furnaces of life. I say to you very often, I said everywhere I go, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. I don't say it just to be hearing myself say something. I mean it. If I wasn't full of the Holy Ghost and fire, I'd get full of the Holy Ghost and fire. If I was sick, I'd pray and believe God to heal my body. And if I died in the midst of praying and believing God to heal my body, I'm telling you, I did not die defeated. I said I didn't die defeated. I just died on the battlefield for my Lord. But I'm telling you, the moment that I draw my last breath, I'm crossing over death's chilling Jordan, where there is no sickness, there is no sorrow, there is no weeping, there is no parting. There's only eternal victory forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank God He's Lord. Come on, I said He's Lord. He's Lord when the druggies at school are bugging you, young people. Come on, I said He's Lord. Had a young lady in my second church, 16 years of age, head cheerleader of the high school, beautiful young lady. Her stepfather was the superintendent of the junior high school. I won him to the Lord. Great man, loved God with all of his heart. One day she came to my secretary's office and said, could I talk to Pastor? Sure. She rang my phone and said, Lisa's here. I want to talk to you. Lisa came inside, sat there and began to weep. She was broken. I said, what's bothering you, Lisa? She said, Brother Taylor, I can't say no any longer. She said, I've said no, 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 until there's no more resistance in my heart. There's no more resistance in my spirit. There's no more resistance in my mind or in my body. She said, I can't say no to illicit sex and drugs anymore. She said, everybody's giving in and everybody's doing it. I looked at her and I said, Jesus didn't do it and Carl Taylor didn't do it and you don't have to do it. Come on, would you say amen to God? Don't you let the devil sell you a line that everybody's doing it. My friend, I'm telling you tonight, there are still those who have not defiled their garments. And Jesus said, they shall walk with me in white apparel. Hallelujah. I said, Lisa, you're not just going to say no. I said, when they approach you, don't just say no. You stretch out your hands, lay them on their heads. You rebuke the devil. You cast the devil out of them. And you command the devils of hell to come out of them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the next day at school, saying no didn't work. Casting out devils does. Come on, I said saying no didn't work, but casting out devils does. She came home that afternoon. She called the phone. She said, Sister Sharon, can I come out to your home? She said, sure, come on. Here comes Lisa. She's bubbling, boy. She's stepping high. I wasn't home. She'd been there for about 45 minutes. I'm telling you, when I walked into my home, in my living room was a 16-year-old girl pacing back and forth, talking in tongues, with her hands raised high to the heavens. Hallelujah. She was crying out these words, "He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord." Hallelujah. "He's Lord." My friend, the reason I have said to you tonight, "He's Lord in the face of opposition. He's Lord in the face of diversity. He's Lord in the midst of crisis. He's Lord in the midst of suffering. He's Lord in the midst of everything that comes and falls across your way." Men sometimes can only praise Him when He's Lord of the good times. But I'm telling you, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For in that valley, I said, in that valley of the shadow of death, He is still the Lord, hallelujah, who reigns. He is clothed with majesty. He has clothed and girded Himself with strength. He's not a weak Lord. He's still the captain of our salvation. So much in the Assemblies of God, some decided to do it. I believe we ought to tell people how to stay saved. I said you ought to tell people how to stay saved. I don't live on an emotion. I live by the hand of His authority. Amen. I don't overcome the devil by the Savior. I overcome the devil by His Lordship. He's not just Savior to me. He's Lord. Would you say amen? The angels call Him Jesus. Dottie Rambo wrote, she said, "But I call Him Lord." Hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, church, that it's time for the church to take hold that He's more than Savior. He's Lord. Hallelujah. I said He's more than just our Savior. He is our Lord. Hallelujah. He's Lord in the morning. He's Lord in the evening. He's Lord in the nighttime. He's Lord when the sun shines. He's Lord when the rains will not stop. He's Lord when the crops yield fruit. He's Lord when they fail. He's Lord when you're sick. He's Lord when you're healthy. He's Lord when you've got money. And He's Lord when you're bankrupt. Hallelujah. I tell you, He is Lord of all. Glory to God. Secondly, David talked about eternal facts. Oh, here at the University of Houston and Rice, they teach there are no absolutes. Every university in America teaches our young people in the spirit of psychology, there are no absolutes. Had a young graduate from the University of Oklahoma. Came with his dad to my church. He sat through the service. Came up to me, real dignified and sophisticated. He's got his education. He's got his degree in psychology. Oh, yes. Looking for his practice as a psychiatrist. He comes to me after service and he shakes my hand. He says, "Reverend Taylor, you're a sight to behold. I enjoyed watching you today." He said, "I enjoyed listening to you." He said, "But frankly, I don't think you had to say it that loud." I said, "Well, I said because some people are hard of hearing. I've been telling them stuff for years that they hadn't heard yet. So I'm trying to say it louder so they'll hear it." Amen. Would you say amen? Glory to God. He said, "I have a few issues this morning I'd like to debate with you." I said, "Oh, son, haven't you heard? You can't debate the Word of God. It's forever settled. You don't like it? Lump it." I said, "If you don't like it, you're going to be judged by it." I said, "God's not here to fuss and argue with you. You either are or you ain't." Amen. So my mother was sick. Had to load up a couple of days later and head off to Carthage to check on my mother. I called this friend of mine. He said, "Oh, I'd like to go." He said, "You mind if my boy comes?" I said, "Tell him to come on." 8.5-hour drive from Oklahoma down to my mother's. For 8.5 hours, I preached to that graduated, degreed psychiatrist. He'd try to get a word in edgeways. I'd start talking in tongues. He'd shut up. Amen. Never let him say a word. I wasn't interested in hearing his theology. I wasn't interested in his philosophy. I don't have time to listen to the philosophy of the world. The world didn't save me. The world didn't baptize me. The world's never healed me of incurable disease. But the Lord has. I've got time to listen to the Lord. I've got time to praise the Lord. I've got time to glorify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. On the way back, this young man was silent. I never said a word. Late that night, I got a call after we got back home. The young man had walked into the bathroom, shut the door, locked it, took a razor blade, cut a 7.5 inch across his throat, cut his jugular vein, and almost died before he got to the hospital. Conviction set in upon that young man, and the old devil began to put him on a trip he had never been on before. Went to that hospital, he was unconscious. I leaned over and whispered in the ear of that unconscious body, and I said to him, "Brian Darby, you'll not die in this hospital. You're going to walk the aisle of New Life Assembly of God and give your heart and life to Jesus. You're not going to die on this bed of attempted suicide in 4 days' time." That young man was dismissed from that hospital in Lawton, Oklahoma on Sunday morning. That young 26-year-old young man walked that aisle at New Life Assembly and he gave his heart and life to God. He stood up and told that congregation, he said, "I've learned there are some absolutes. I was absolutely lost without God. I was absolutely believing in the wrong philosophy." He said, "But I'm absolutely saved today. The devil doesn't want the church. The devil doesn't want God's people having eternal facts. But I'm telling you, it is a fact. I've been saved. I've been delivered from the pit. Hallelujah. I've been lifted up. He put my feet on the solid rock and he put within my mouth a new song. Hallelujah. I'm absolutely on my way to heaven." Hallelujah. Thank God. I said, thank God there are some eternal facts tonight. It's an eternal fact. It doesn't matter what it looks like to the ear, to the eye, or sounds like to the ear. I'm telling you, my friend, he's Lord. Come on, I said, he's Lord. He's absolutely Lord. David said, the world, listen to this, is firmly established. Can you imagine? This is an eternal fact. The world is firmly established. Think about all the wars that have been ever since there's been humanity. Think about the A-bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima. And the world never ceased to rotate firmly on its axis. Oh, where's Madeline O'Hara? Tell her there are some eternal facts. This world is firmly established by the hands of a firmly established God. Hallelujah. I'm not here today and gone tomorrow. If I am, the church will still be here. Come on, would you say amen? Woo, hallelujah to God. You see, men lay down and die. They give up the ghost. And where is he? But I'm telling you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ continues on. I said it continues on. Hallelujah. This gospel salvation message does not diminish. David said the world is firmly established. The world will not be moved. Hallelujah. The Lord's throne is established from the beginning. He said the Lord is everlasting. Somebody shout praise the Lord with me. In the writings of Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 10, the Apostle Paul gets cranked up and he begins to share with us some eternal facts. Beginning at verse number 1, he said, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's an eternal fact tonight. He said, "We're justified by faith and we have peace with God." Did you hear me? I said, it's an absolute fact tonight. There was trouble and chaos in my spirit, but I'm telling you now, the peace that passeth all understanding, hallelujah, dwells in my mind and dwells in my soul. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Verse number 2, he said, "We have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace." Woo, glory to God. I like that word, introduction. That means I got started 24 years ago. Would you say amen? I got introduced to something they didn't sell down at M&M Toggery. Hallelujah. I got introduced to something that Mr. Jake Walker didn't have down at the movie theater. I got introduced to something that I didn't find on the football field on Friday nights playing ball. I got introduced to something that playing semi-pro baseball never did for me. Hallelujah. I got introduced to something that dating never did for me. I got introduced to someone that dragging up and down Main Street and shooting out the street lights never did for me. I got introduced to the grace of God. Woo, hallelujah. I said I got introduced to the grace of God. Somebody came to me tonight and asked me if J.B. Hunt, if I knew him, sheriff up in Panola County. Ask him if he knows me. My dad's third cousin. He locked me up a time or two. One night he told me as he locked me up, he said, Carl, you got to call your mama. I said, no, call God, call the devil, call the Marines. Just don't call mama. I'll fuss and fight with God. I'll fight with the devil. I'll fight till I die fighting the Marines. But I'm a dead duck if you call mama. Without a pond to swim in. He didn't call the Marines. He didn't even call God. He never even put a wire to hell. He just called mama. It was an eternal fact. She was going to beat the devil out of me. She got me home that night. She said, son, what makes you do the things you do? I said, I'm full of the devil. Proud of it, mama. Did you hear me? I'm full of the devil and proud of it. She said, well, son, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. I said, mama, you can't beat the devil out of me. She said, that might be true, but I'm going to discourage that sucker from hanging around so much. I'm here to tell you I found it to be a fact in the Word of God that Satan departed for a season. It was a season before I had guts enough to do something rebellious. Don't tell me there's no facts. No absolutes. Hallelujah. I tell you, I've learned a few of them. Paul continues on. He says that we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Verse number 3, he said, we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the reason I know I can make it to the end is because of what I've already come through. Hallelujah. I said, the reason I know I can make it to the placid shores of the eternal Galilee, where Christ is the light of that glory. Holy world, I know I can make it because of what I've already survived, of what I've already conquered, of what I've already overcome. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul wrote and said, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. I'm here to stay, devil. Did you hear me, Satan? I said, I'm here to stay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You Baptist shout amen. You holy rollers shout praise the Lord. Didn't think I had many here tonight. Hallelujah. I like verse number 4. He said, and perseverance produces proven character. I want you to know I am a character. But it's a proven character. Would you say amen to God? Hallelujah. And he said, proven character produces hope. These are eternal absolutes. And he said, and hope does not disappoint. Hallelujah. You see, anytime you have the Lordship of God made manifest, anytime he reveals eternal facts within your heart, he's going to bring your mind and your understanding and your knowledge to the place that you realize there's always hope in the midst of distress. Hallelujah. I said, there is always hope in the midst of distress. Oh, but you don't understand how it looks. You just can't hear what I'm hearing. Listen to what David says. He brings us all the way down to where he says there is hope in distress. He said, the floods are lifted up. The floods have raised up their voices against us. They come in with many pounding waves. He said, but the Lord is on high. Hallelujah. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is mightier than the sounds of many waters. He's mightier than the breakers of the sea. My friend, there's always hope in the midst of despair. Those eternal facts lead you to hope in God. Come on, I said those eternal facts lead you to hope in God. If you live for God on inspiration, you're going to lose it. You hear me tonight? I said if you live for God on mere inspiration, you're going to lose it. If you follow Him for the fishes and loaves, you'll get fed up. Amen, I said you'll get fed up. No church split's going to keep me out of heaven. No long tongue gossiping, false accusing saint or devil's going to keep me out of heaven. No blasphemer of the Holy Ghost or God is going to keep me out of heaven. No hypocrite inside the sanctuary is going to keep me out of heaven. I'd rather go to church with a few hypocrites than go to hell with all of them. Would you say amen? Well, I won't ever go back to Greensboro again. Too many hypocrites down there. I'd rather come to Greensboro with a few of them than go to hell with all of them, wouldn't you? Come on, I said, wouldn't you? If people look for something to pick on, you're going to find something to pick on. But if you look for an eternal fact that will produce proven character and it will produce hope in the midst of every disappointment of life. Yes, it's disappointing when somebody falsely accuses you. It's disappointing when things don't go your way. It's disappointing when you put everything in gear and you think you're going to succeed and it falls flat of its face and ends up in nothing but a complete deluge of failure. It's disappointing. But I've got a hold of something tonight that has brought me through all my disappointment. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Lord lives in my heart and He's established some eternal facts in my life, and because of those facts I've always found hope in the midst of my despair. Hallelujah. Have you despaired? Yes, my friend, I have despaired, even as Paul has. He said, I despaired even of life. I was pressed out of measure where I despaired even of life. He said, I've been cast down, but I'm not trodden under. Hallelujah. Because I've got a hope. Hallelujah. You got a hope here tonight? Say amen. The last portion of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Paul says in verse number 10, we shall be saved by His life. Come on, would you say amen? Greensboro is not going to save me. The general counsel is not going to save me. The SBC is not going to save me. I'm saved by the life of the Lord. Would you say amen? You see, there was a little lad that went out and stood in the front of a big old giant. And that little freckle-faced, rudy-haired boy came out, not in the name of Saul, not in the host of Israel, but he came out in the name of the Lord of the host of Israel. Come on, would you say amen? This church is not going to be saved by ingenuity. It's not going to be saved by administration and organization. This church is not going to move forward because of the ingenuity and the ability and the intellect of any one person. Folk, I'm telling you, this church has been saved by the life of God. This church has been raised up by the life of the Son of Life Himself. This church is founded on the Christ, the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. And because of who it's built on, no devil in hell is going to destroy it. Hallelujah. I don't know much about your history, but I tell you this, you've had a lot of battles, and it hasn't all been easy. There's been some fussing and fighting down through the years. There's been some discord and dissension. Oh, you're off your rocker. No, I'm rocking in God's glory. I know exactly what I'm talking about. No man comes any distance with God or for God without trouble, oppressions, opposition, and battles. Amen. Oh, I got news for opposition and battles and trouble and difficulties, though. Just get in line. Check out to be next. It don't matter to me. The same Lord that's brought me through all the battles this far is the same Lord that's going to lead me on. You believe it? Shout amen. How many is in this thing until it finishes? Come on, I said, are you in this thing until it finishes? Hallelujah. I want you to know there Paul said we are saved by his life. Psalms 107 said, I will lift up mine eyes. Listen to that. Why will I lift my eyes up? Because it is the Lord who will come and hear my cry and deliver me out of all my distresses. My mother, through all the battles that she has had in her body through all these years, she's always quoted out of the book of Psalms. And she said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of them all. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Mama Taylor? I'm saying that God is faithful and there's always hope in the midst of distress. Hallelujah. How many has ever been so stressed out you couldn't cope with all the distress, the perplexities and the complexities of life? You've been there. I've been there. Any and every preacher of the gospel that's worth his salt has stood in the pulpit without a resolve and an answer on occasion, not knowing which direction to go or what to do next. But I'm telling you, my friend, that's when we lift our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, because the Lord's not lost. Hallelujah. He's got an eternal plan and it's not been detoured nor deviated from. Hallelujah. It's right on course. We're headed to glory. Hallelujah. Fighting a few devils to get there, but we're going to make it. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, I say I don't have time to finish, but I'm going to finish this part. Aren't you glad we're saved by the life of the Lord? Lift your hand and say, I'm saved by the life of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, our Lord is the mighty one of Israel. It is no problem to him to save by a few or to save by many. Would you say, praise the Lord? He became the sacrifice that we might receive pardon. He became stripes laid upon his back for our healing of our bodies. Hallelujah. He sent forth plagues upon Egypt to cause Pharaoh to comply with the command of let my people go. If he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave, then we ought to be persuaded that he can perform the impossible within our hearts and our lives. Hallelujah. He is our passage through the Red Sea. He is our protection from the fiery flames of the furnaces of life. He is our peace in the midst of the storm-tossed seas. Hallelujah. He is our bread when we're hungry. He is our authority in the lion's den. I'm telling you, my friend, we're saved by the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're never without hope. I don't care what situation you face. I said you are never without hope. Brother Dwayne, would you come and help me? He is the mighty one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Did you hear that? I've done a lot of study on that word, the power that worketh in us. You know what it comes back to? According to the eternal facts that are established and settled in our mind. How many know what to preach Sunday morning? Settle it in your hearts. I'm telling you, my friend, when everything reverts back to the eternal facts, there's victory in sight. Amen. I said there's victory in sight. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The final thing that David deals with in Psalms 93, he says to us, he is the object of worship. He is the holy Lord of glory. And you hear this. He said, holiness befits thy house. I made a statement the other night. I've been a couple of places where I've been challenged mighty heavy on it. I said that 95% of what goes on in our AG churches today can go on without God. I've had a few pastors call me aside and rake me over the coal. Brother Granberry hasn't yet, but he knows where I'm coming from. Folk, I want you to know we're skilled, we're intelligent, we're educated, we're administrative, we're great organizers. We've become organizers instead of agonizers. Amen. Come on, I said we've become organizers instead of agonizers. You see, the battle for this church is not won in this pulpit. The battles of this church and this congregation are won in spiritual warfare in these altars. And I'm here to tell you that this morning, again, There were some walls that crumbled here this morning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans whether or not Pastor Granberry can carry the mail preaching. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans whether or not Carl Taylor can turn you on preaching. No, sir. Great preaching is not where it's at. It's in the altar of agonizing over souls for sons and daughters born into the kingdom. He didn't say great preaching befits thy house. He didn't say great singing befits thy house. He didn't say entertainment, specials, and personalities befit thy house. Only one thing David said befits the house of God, and that's holiness. The 24 elders fell down before him, and they never cried out, "Omnipotent is the Lord." They never cried out and said, "Omniscient, omnipresent is the Lord." You know what they cried out when they fell down before him? They cried, "That which befits the house of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." You can entertain people and pack any building in America. Amen. You think I'm kidding? Folk, I've been places where we've had crowds of 5,000 and 6,000 because I took time to entertain people. Yes, I wanted it to be a proven fact that you could feel any hall you rented entertaining people. And if you put on a display and a show, people align the walls to come and see the show. But as soon as the show's over, the people are gone. Amen. I said, the people are gone. I want church to be like he ordained it. When a man walks through the side doors or the front doors, or they come in through the back, when they come into Greensboro Assembly, God help us not to be guilty. I said, God help us not to be guilty of having nothing but programs and organization and administration so that when a sinner walks in, he leaves a sinner without conviction. I want men and women to be so convicted by the presence of the Holy Ghost that it's virtually impossible for them to get up and walk out of the church. I want God demonstrated so great that not one sick body can come and leave afflicted or maimed, but they're healed by the power of God. That does not come by entertainment. It comes when holiness befits the house of the Lord. When his holiness is revealed, men that had no recorded sin, such as Daniel, says that my comeliness is turned to corruptness in my bones. Men like Job, who said, "Though the skin worms devour this body of mine, in my flesh I shall see God." It's when men like Job said, "I had heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now that mine eye seeth thee, I abhor myself, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes." My friend, there's no superstar here tonight. Just Jesus revealed by the Holy Ghost. I said, just Jesus revealed by the Holy Ghost. Holiness. Holiness befits his house. If you'll learn to serve God next to his holiness, if the fishes are there or the fishes aren't there, you'll serve him. Come on, I said, you'll serve him. If the hype is there or if the hype's not there, if the inspiration is there, the inspiration isn't there, I said, you'll serve him. I said, you'll serve him because you've got more than a fish. You've got more than a loaf of bread. You've got more than a hype or an inspiration. You've got the very presence of God in your heart. Would you bow your heads?